The title of my sermon message today is Roller Coaster of Life. I'd like to see a show of hands of anyone that's been brave enough to really ride some of the latest design roller coasters out there. I know, what about the older ones back in the younger years for some of us? Well, I chose this title because of how a roller coaster has its ups and downs, its twists and turns, especially with the newer designs today. Back in my younger years, they just had the metal, smaller roller coasters that still worried a kid because of the rattling and shaking, and they put it together in maybe an hour out in the parking lot, you know? You always look around, did they have spare parts left over? Try not to think about that too much. But nowadays, they're like 200 feet high, 70 mile per hour, steep turns, G-force ratings. Not for me, you know. Of course, they say if you have a heart condition. Well, I have a heart condition sometimes just looking at the picture of it. Not about to get on it. But the reason I chose this title was because if we look at our lives today, in today's world, how is that related to the twists and turns, the ups and downs that we run across, that we experience in our life today? I mean, there have been even reports in some of the roller coasters that get stuck. And usually when you're seeing it, they're high in the air and they're stuck upside down until they can get them either removed or going again. Another reason why you wouldn't really catch me on one today. Today we find ourselves surrounded by the same physical and spiritual degradation and conditions that were being done back in the time of Noah. During Adam and Eve's time, when Satan got to them, and continuing forward throughout today and even times ahead of us, Satan is out there maneuvering, working against mankind. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The only way that man can survive is to surrender to God. We have to look to God. Christ predicted that at the end time, it would strikingly parallel the conditions in Noah's time. And if you would turn to Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39, we'll read about that. Solomon had said, there's nothing new under the sun. So what we're talking about here, we saw in Noah's time, but it's also talked about by Christ. Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. But in the days of Noah, excuse me just a second here. But in the days of Noah, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, we just read how God recorded what the individuals were doing. Every thought that entered their mind, they were performing. In this same book, Matthew 24, Christ gave us signs of what to look for, to be watching. In Matthew 24, if you're still there, verses 3, we see where some of the disciples came to Christ asking, what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of this age? Verse 4, Jesus answered, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. If we look at our world today, what do we see being projected across the airwaves? False prophecies, people misinterpreting scriptures or making up their own information. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're hearing a lot of drum beats now with Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. Nothing new, but it just seems like it's starting to escalate. And with our nation, in a way, losing its power around the world, of people not really looking to the United States as protection and their support for them. These rumors are starting to escalate as well. But it says, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We're seeing nations rising against nation. We're seeing ethnicities across the world forming and starting to battle against each other, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. In verse 8, it says, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. The earthquake over in Turkey and Syria, one of the latest, they were talking about 11 days after the earthquake, they pulled two men out of the rubble. 11 days. A lot of death there, a lot of prayers. But although it's a tragic event, you do see that this nation and other nations have responded to try to help them, help recover people, help recover those that are still living, sending supplies over. So there still is some good that's being done, even in the face of tragedy. And we see it daily in the news, and we've seen it through our historical records. We are witnessing and have been witnessing these beginning of sorrows. And we've been told what's coming. God tells us what's coming. It's prophesied for those that he is opening up his word to. But it doesn't tell us when it's coming. Just to be watching and what to watch for. So we need to be constantly watching and praying always. We know what's ahead, meaning we need to stay close to our God, God the Father, and our elder brother. We need to be preparing now, daily, building the faith, hope, and love of searching out God's truth and living by God's way. And we're to be consistent, not just hit and miss, but consistent each and every day, putting God first. Our great adversary, Satan, will try to break us. He's just throwing everything at us, and it's just going to get worse. Satan wants to destroy it all. He wants to destroy mankind, God's creation. And we can see in our world around us the various fears, the anxieties, the hatred, the greed, the vanity, all of these weaknesses that Satan will manipulate and use against us if he can. Satan wants to attack and devour each. He wants us to attack and devour each other, just as the world is doing now to one another. You may have heard the old saying, "Stop the world, I want to get off. Just give up, throw in the towel." These are ways that Satan wants us to just quit, to no longer struggle, no longer battle, no longer seek God's way. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, here Jesus is speaking. And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We cannot be the one that says, "Stop the world, I want to get off." We're on God's timeline. God has called us. We need to continue moving forward in momentum, building that momentum towards God and his kingdom. Because God is asking us to commit to an entirely different way of life, a wonderful way of life, imitating Christ by forgiving others who have wronged us. And we need to be looking at the positive things in life. If you would, turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. In Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul speaking, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." That is a totally different way of life to this world, for us to be looking for these wonderful aspects for each other, to living that way, to studying, to bringing these into captivity. Some of this message is being taken from a couple of recent documents. One is Mr. Wendt's Something to Ponder, which I'll be quoting a couple of things from at the end of the message, but also Mr. Veller. He puts out a pastor's letter, and it just, you know, God works in mysterious ways, but he works where these different topics tend to intertwine. So there were some things from Mr. Veller's pastor's letter that, in a way, I was sort of saying similar things, but his presentation had a better, to me, a better flow. So I've actually cut and pasted. So the next couple of paragraphs that I'll be reading from came from Mr. Veller's pastor's letter, which was yesterday's. For some of the believers and saints that God is working with in this age, because God is the one that does the calling, you would turn to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to be speaking about the near the end time. Revelation 12, starting in verse 6. We read here where it says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And if you move across the page to verse 14, and to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished, where it says nourished, fed, and kept for a time, and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. These two verses indicate that a number of God's people will survive the great tribulation by being divinely protected. But God deliberately does not disclose exactly who will be spared and where they will be. That is because the just shall live by faith. Moreover, those who could become fixated and obsessed in this life with security and safety of their own personal being, or possibly their, them and their family, may instead need God to lovingly subject them to other trials for future spiritual refinement, to prove once and for all that they must seek God first, and also seek to enhance the welfare of others as wisdom would dictate. Continuing with Mr. Beller's message here, a penetrating scripture tells us that he who seeks to save his life shall lose it, and he who chooses to give up his life will find it. If God decides, not us, if God decides that we are self-centered with little regard for others, mainly looking inward, he will not want to artificially protect us from growth in trials that we would need. It's a continual growing process. But if we prove to God, and we need to continue proving to God that we will live in harmony with his way of life, he can provide us protection. Exactly who goes where, in his plan, his timeline, no one knows. We don't know. Only God knows. The just shall live by faith. And that is not an accident. We can never accept a life of spiritual complacency. We cannot be complacent. We need to continue to grow. So with that said, are there lingering doubts in our heart and minds? Are there? If there are, we need to go to God with those doubts, to seek his truth, seek his forgiveness. Because are you going through a stressful time right now in your life? Do you have anxiety? Do you have fears? Is the world getting to you? Is it starting to make you falter, to think differently about things? 1 John chapter 4, if you would go there, please. First John 4, starting in verse 15, we'll be reading 15 through 18. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have understood and believe the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. And that's what we're to be building towards, is to, that perfection that God is showing to us through his love. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, verse 28, here Christ is speaking. And we're told to fear not them which kills the body. But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. Him being God. Show that reverence to God, which is able to destroy both soul and body. Do we show that reverence to God? Do we give him the glory that he's entitled to in our daily life? As we progress through this life, we need to come to the point where we are so close to God. Through our prayer, through our studies. I'm not saying anything that we don't already know. But through our studies and meditating and fasting, we need to be continually building our faith, spiritually preparing our heart and mind. That is our job. That is our life. That is our purpose for God calling us. If we want to be a very part of God's kingdom and his family, we need to continue moving forward. We need to be preparing our heart each and every day, building that serving attitude similar to Christ's example when he washed the disciples' feet. We have the spring holy days coming where we will be partaking of that washing of each other's feet during the Passover service. He set a very wonderful example for us to follow of being humble and serving others. How well are we doing that in serving our family who are here presently, and those that are listening in? How well are we doing? We should be showing outgoing concern and love towards others. That includes God, our elder brother Jesus Christ, all of you in here, but those that we work with, those that we associate with outside in our daily routine at work, neighbors, whomever it may be, we should be showing concern and love towards them as well. You know, we talked about the ups and downs of a roller coaster. The ups in our lives should be driven by our friendship and loving attitude with our Father, God the Father, and our elder brother. And that friendship and loving attitude should be to our family as well, our friends and others, as I've just mentioned. Friendship is a part of God's way of life. God designed us to need each other, and we are of the body. He's designed us for that, to form, to maintain, and enjoy good relationships with others, to keep the body healthy, the body of Christ. know, God's word, if you would turn to Exodus 33, verse 11. I mean, there are so many examples in God's word that God used and God called. And there are ups and downs. One of those is Moses. I mean, just thinking of the story of Moses and all that he went through, the ups and downs and the twists and turns. And how Israel just would not listen. But he never faltered. As far as what God was wanting him to do, he did make some mistakes, granted. We all make mistakes. But in Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. That says a lot right there. Of the trust, the love, and what Moses did and went through for serving God. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 18, verse 24, I mean, the life of Moses is just, there's just so much material there. For various messages. I'll get there in just a minute. Proverbs 18, verse 24. It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's in God's word. Have we experienced that? Do we have a friend, or do we have friends that you could say in your mind and in your understanding sticks closer than a brother? We can see in God's word how important it is to have friends, a support group, if you want to put it that way. But in order to develop that lasting friendship, and it is something that has to be developed and maintained, we should not base it on what we can only get from the relationship. It's not just for what I can get from that friendship, but what we can give, such as our focused time, an ear willing to listen, our loving support and encouragement. All of these aspects is something, again, we need to be developing. Let's go to John chapter 15, starting in verse 12 through 14. Yes, we can be on that roller coaster of life. But how do we perform? How do we enjoy the ride? We enjoy it by listening and following God. John 15, starting in verse 12 through 14. Here the disciples are saying to Christ, know you that the Pharisees were offended after they heard a saying that Christ was speaking to them about? But Christ said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. I'm sorry, I'm in Matthew. Thanks for the whispering out there. I heard you. As usual, I think I'm entitled to one. Hopefully that's the last one. You see the little sweat beading up here? I'm going, that doesn't sound right. Here we go. Let's try John 15, verses 12 through 14. This is my commandment, Christ speaking here, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And we know that Christ laid his life down for all of mankind. Have we really stopped to think about that? Have we really counted the cost? Are we willing, if it should come to that, to give up our very life? Jesus laid down his life. He fulfilled that on the cross. Now it's up to us to do as commanded, to love one another. If we're doing this daily, then we should be experiencing a greater number of ups in our life, more enjoyment, more to life, that we want to continue living and doing what God says. We must learn to be balanced in life. Not just balanced, but wise. Wise in God's word. We need to be developing. Again, developing each and every day and maintaining that close relationship, not just with our friends, but with our Heavenly Father. Another verse that talks about friendship is Proverbs 17:17. I mean, when you rode the roller coaster, especially not really realizing what it was going to be like, but the thrill or excitement, did you do it by yourself or did you have a friend with you? Would that friend probably want to crush your hand to hold on while they're doing the loops and ups and up and downs? My wife and I, when we got married, we honeymooned in Disney World. And over there is Space Mountain. Well, I'd been on it before, so I sort of knew what was coming. She had never been on it. So I sort of knew when the different turns, and because it was in the dark, it's inside it, roller coaster. So I knew when to throw out the usual scream or holler to scare her half to death. You know, you got to realize I wasn't in the church. We were just married, and it was funny. Tell you the truth, to me it was funny. Not so much to her. It's probably still not funny to her even to today, but you know, it does help to have someone with you, especially if you want to scare them. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know? I know growing up, I had brothers that, I don't know if I'd use the word adversity, but there were moments. But what qualities do you look for in another person, especially a friend? What qualities? But then understand what qualities you're thinking of are the same type of qualities that we should be expressing back to them and to others. Are we looking for honesty? Are we looking for them to be non-judgmental? No, we should be honest. We should be non-judgmental. Do we look for a very dependable person? A supportive person? All of these qualities. Do we look for a very caring individual? God is all of these. Jesus Christ is all these. Christ being moved with compassion in response to the deep needs of others that he saw during his life here on earth. Such a caring and loving Son of God, elder brother, high priest. So if you are feeling that feeling of a roller coaster in your life, we need to overcome Satan's attacks, Satan's darts. We need to continue to show the proper reverence to our Heavenly Father and our elder brother. Work towards that. It will benefit your life immensely. Developing and preparing, such as what you see around us for the 50s and 60s dance tonight. All this preparation, which they did a wonderful job. Very, very nice. All that preparation there. We should be preparing even more so in our life, in our hearts and our minds daily, to build the faith and belief in our Father, in all that he has shown us and will continue to show us. To develop, to nurture, to maintain, and grow friendship, our friendship with God and Jesus Christ. Our family, physical and spiritual family, friends and others. You will see that this will add a soothing ointment to see us through the roller coaster of life. God will never leave us or forsake us. And it will also magnify the joy in our life, knowing why we were born. What is the purpose of life? And what will we, and if we endure to the end, which we don't know for each of us when that end may come. But if we're there and we're prepped and we're ready and we keep seeking God, we'll receive God's promise of that eternal life. So as we continue to maneuver through the life's ups and downs, a roller coaster of life, and we feel like we're on that ride, let's just remember this. I'll be reading some excerpts from Mr. Wentz, Something to Ponder, that came out yesterday. Does our life reflect appreciation? Does our life reflect outwardly appreciation for all God has done for us? Only you can answer that. And think about it. He says, each congregation is composed, I'm looking out over you, of members that have been hand-picked by God. Hand-picked by God. At times we may wonder why there aren't more members in our group, or why it takes so long for others to overcome their worldly ways. But our main focus, our individual main focus, should be on how we are doing How am I doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? And we should ask ourselves daily, is God pleased with my progress? And that word progress means we're continuing, seeking, progressing forward, not regressing backwards. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We must grow to view and to understand that our fellow members, each and every one of you, as a potential child of God, our loving Father looks at us as a child of God. Our responsibility now within the church is to develop, again, develop the character of God. No one can do that for us, nor can we change other members. I'm not going to change you. I'm not going to change you. You're responsible for your growth, your development. No one can do that for us, nor can we change others. Our calling is all about taking on the qualities of Christ and supporting the body of believers, that support system of a body of believers. As we look ahead to the Spring Holy Days, let's consider if we are a productive member of God's church. Are we producing what God is expecting us to produce? For the last scripture, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and held by that which every joint supplies. We are fitly joined. We should be producing. And we should be supplying in this calling. Every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Each and every one of us is a part of the body, fitly joined, making increase of the body unto the edifying, the building up of itself in love. Will we be ready? Will we be prepared? Time's coming. Time is coming where God will do what he has prophesied to do for the church. And we have to be ready. That time is ahead of us. We can see the beginning of sorrows all around us. Things are escalating. Things are boiling, getting hotter and hotter, ready to burst. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be ready and willing and able to support one another. Keep your prayers going for those that are in need of healing. Those that are not able to be with us because of sickness and health issues. The shut-ins, pray for the widows, the elderly. There are so many things that we need to be doing. We really need to get down to business, serious business in this life that God has called us to.